When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart here. We are back for the recap at round number 8. Jerry's World, Texas, baby. It's the Triple Crown. East Coast, West Coast, they still chilling. They at home getting ready for the outdoors. We got the 450, busting caps. Jason Anderson's guys has won the last two races. And then you got, obviously, E.T. And then you got Mookie Fever. And then you got the guy who got knocked out last weekend. Chase Sexton came back. Glad to see you back, buddy. So, obviously, I'm a big fan of Triple Crowns. It's like three heat races, a little bit longer heat races, but just all speed. So let's get into this. We're going to get into all of it. And we're going to catch up on the Moto XGP. Or is it Moto XGP?
MXGP.
MX. Oh, okay. Moto X kind of like sounds like X game stuff. So anyways, we're going to talk about you guys. Heard it was windy and cold over there, but somebody still got a neck burn. Let's get into it, Cole. Freddie Kitchen. That's his name, Freddie Kitchen.
Levi Kitchen.
Oh, Levi Kitchen. Freddie Kitchen's the coach.
Fix the dread.
The dread's popping.
Yeah, right there.
Man, my dreads are tripping lately. We back here. We're gonna break them down. We're in the recap. Wait, no, I already said the recap. We're going to break down the recap of the 250s, 450s, MXGPs, all GPs, no PPs. I got a PP a little bit, but... And Jet Lawrence pulled the whole shot. And clearly, he's kind of like Kristen Craig to me. When he gets out front, he's faster than everybody else. So if you let him get out front, he's going to pull away. Well, he gets out front and just spins out, does a donut. I don't know if that's what they do in Australia, but he was like slipping and sliding like he was at a water park. He just falling over. So, which made it good for the Triple Crown because otherwise he would have just ran away from him. He gets out front, just donuts. And then everybody else like, yeah, we might have a chance to win. So I think it was that Styles Robinson, cool first name, Styles Robinson. And then you had Austin and his teammate right there. So it was good. It was good. It was a great race with those guys. I think obviously McAdoo rode really well. He actually rode well last weekend, but this weekend he actually rode better than he did. But with the Triple Crown format, it makes it for some interesting racing because you got to do it three times. So normally like a regular Supercross, Jet might have actually still end up winning this race if it was a regular one. Five more minutes, he was going quite a bit faster than everybody else, but it wasn't. It was only 10, so he only got his way up to fourth. But it was nice to see those guys kind of fight with him and try to make it happen. But he's clearly the best of the best. And, unfortunately, he has an incident with Austin that ends up getting hurt with, Austin. So we'll get into that a little bit because I think it wasn't dirty. It was a racing incident. And if you look at it, Jet comes out that corner. He actually hits the hay bale, which sends him straight. But before that, if you watch some of the other guys, like anybody, there was a lot of guys that was cross jumping on that thing. And the way they had the finish line coming straight out of that corner, it wasn't a lot of room to it. So anybody that actually went and rode the whole outside, they basically went outside to in. It was just the way the corner shot them, the jump, they couldn't do anything about it. Anybody that cut down ends up actually, having a shorter line to it, but you end up staying lower. So the jumps end up intersecting like this. Everybody did it. But when Jet hit the hay bale, he actually went a little bit farther over than, most people. And Austin just hitting that line in general, he was going to stay lower. So there you go. He gets up in it. Look how much higher he is than Austin. Austin's moving forward. Jet's going up. And you could tell you don't want to cross jump a guy no matter what up in the air. And dude, it was like down. Like I felt bad for him. Luckily, Jet didn't get hurt. Austin, I don't know if he broke his hand.
Collarbone.
Broke his collarbone. Man, actually, he's lucky enough just to get away with that. But yeah, unfortunately for him. But that was a racing incident. Again, you look at the way that section was. If you go outside, it's outside to in. You go inside, it's inside out. Those lines cross jump. It happened in the 450 class. Yeah, if you look at Jet going through the woods, first off, dude was great save. He had like another save before that that was nasty. And I mean, dude, he's going to Alpine Star. I mean, know they're your sponsors, but damn, you don't want to go there. So I get your point of maybe being out of control, but he's in the lead. Like the room is his. Now Austin has to react to him. Whatever he does, you got to react to him. But 100%, like he wasn't, that crash wasn't because Jet was out of control. Maybe he railed that corner and he just was out of control to the point where he went into the hay bale. I don't know. Didn't seem like halfway through that corner he was set. I think he just got too close to the hay bale like I did in San Diego in 2007 when I ended up jumping over. But that was a different story. And Jet ends up getting shot maybe another foot over. And if you know anything about, you know, racing, which you guys do if you're paying attention to this show, but I'll tell you anyway, an inch, if you move an inch, it ends up moving your foot. So Jet hitting that hay bale, it might have just only moved him or threw his weight off an inch, but that translated because of his momentum and speed to a foot, and it changed his whole trajectory. Just fill that part in. It changes his whole angle. I just come up with a new word. It changes his whole angle. So now he's going up instead of like out. Austin's thinking that he can't see that Jet just hit this hay bale, so he's thinking he's going to keep moving with the momentum that he normally has, and Austin ends up just running into him. You could tell, again, Jet looks, he knew straight off the bat that this ain't going to end well, and you know Austin just comes into him, and it's over. So Jet wasn't out of control to the point where he was like how he looked in the whoops. Jet might have had too much speed and you know moved out too far, but he clips the hay bale, and it's a little bit, but it's enough to shoot him and changes him going up to actually going sideways. So, and I don't know if Jet was drunk after this or his bike was beat up. I see his fenders all messed up because, dude, like, okay, I get it now. Like, the fender's a little crooked. Like, okay, I thought he was knocked out riding. I thought he looked like his boy Chase, but he got on the bike last weekend because he was doing, like, stuff like that, going through the whoops, couldn't jump. And it must be because, you know, his nose was all crooked, looked like he had broke it. Yeah, this weekend here at Dallas, I think the last couple of years has actually been kind of like this. I don't know if they brought in some new dirt like 3 or 4 years ago, more of a clay. And as I was saying, as last weekend, it's the same thing. Like it's tacky, but then it's super slippery. It reminds me of the old Phoenix back in the day where in practice or even in the race, like you get these little powder burns like built up, but then you can actually see dust coming up. It's super slippery. And they're slipperier than the West Coast because you have sand on top of hard pack, which makes it even worse. So this track was like last weekend as far as being really slippery. But my track here set up in Florida was kind of like that too. So I, you know, it didn't really bother me. But yeah, the East Coast isn't the East Coast anymore. Like you have the ruts, but they're hard ruts and they're super, super slippery. And when you get to the East Coast and they're slipperier than the West Coast, I should tell you something. And I think for dirt works, it's a lot easier having the tracks dried out just maintenance wise and making them look pretty compared to where you have like Indy or some of these other tracks where it breaks down is so much work. So I think that's a part of why they try to get the dirt, you know, kind of harder like that. And I don't know if they had a Monster Jam before this too. That's another thing. And they usually take this dirt and store it and try to dry it out a week before. So you're not going to find a track that has that tackiness, and Dallas has always been notoriously hard. So to me, this has more traction than Dallas normally has. Dallas is usually like how Mini was, where it was like super, super hard pack and get that blue groove going on. I think Malcolm gets in the lead like two, three minutes into it. And I think with the, you know, last two weekends, I said that Cooper's made an improvement. Like I can visually see his bike's better. Malcolm's to me, it's like it's slowly maybe getting better, but it's not that big jump as Cooper. But Malcolm's bike works well in certain parts. And I think he's starting to figure out how to ride that thing. And you could tell he looks smooth on it. He's able to turn down. And I think what makes the last 2 weekends, what makes Malcolm even shine more is the way the track was. That slipperiness that you guys are talking about, you can't override it. And I said a few weeks ago at Anaheim, if Cooper and those guys was able to get into pace where you didn't have to ride too hard, they can just be consistent, then they can fight. Well, I feel like these last 2 weekends have been that type of track where you just got to get in it. And it's about minimizing mistakes and not overriding it. And I think with Malcolm, the way his bike set up, the places that he would normally struggle would, it kind of like offset by the places that his bike works well because of the way you got to ride it. And with this whoop section right here, if you notice, Malcolm was better in the whoops that was coming straight out of the corner compared to the ones that he had momentum going into it, because coming out of the corner, he's on the gas, he's squatting, he's basically keeping the front, it's automatically keeping the front wheel up. So he's able to kind of just push through. And the way it was, like, it wasn't like you can be that much faster in it anyway, even if you had a good bike. It's about just trying to get into it. So I thought the track lended itself for Malcolm to do well. And obviously he was riding well and he was close. Everybody talks about the results and they talk about Jason knocking down Malcolm, both of them going down. But what you don't realize is that everything that happens, it happens for a reason. Like, you, if you go down, there's a reason why it happened. Even Chase's crash last weekend, people look at the result of him going down. People don't look at what caused the crash. What caused the crash is actually him entering the corner, but we'll get into that another day. In Jason's situation, Malcolm had him on the ropes. Malcolm, even though Jason was second and he ends up closing in on him, if you go back to the race, once Jason gets in second, he closes in on Malcolm. Malcolm pulls away. Jason closes back in on him. Malcolm pulls away. Then Jason closes back in, and there's only 2 minutes left. So I look at, in my mindset, if I was a racer, Jason wasn't faster than Malcolm. Malcolm was making mistakes, which will allow Jason to catch up to him, because if he was faster, when he caught him the first time, he would just move, like, he would just went through him. And to me, if he was faster, Jason wouldn't have made that pass the way he did. Jason was in a situation where he knew he wanted to get around Malcolm. Jason's notorious. He's aggressive, not dirty, just aggressive. And he saw an opportunity to make it, so he just did it. But that was because of what was going on in the race. Jason was not faster than Malcolm. So when Jason saw the opportunity to make that pass, to him in his mindset, he needed to make it right there. He needed to make the pass because he might not have another chance. And that's, to me, what was causing Jason to go in and make an aggressive pass. And again, I think the situation, it wasn't dirty. It was super aggressive. Malcolm goes in the corner. He cuts down. Jason's going in. Obviously, he hits him. Malcolm was going down no matter what. Ruts or no ruts, Malcolm was going down. But Jason gets caught up to where he can't really do anything. Once he goes in there and makes that pass, he's in the ruts. Malcolm's falling down on him. And that's what makes Jason goes down. And to me, if Jason wouldn't have went down, it wouldn't have looked like he just tried coming in and killing Malcolm. It would have looked like, okay, he took Malcolm out. But when guys go down together, it's always like, damn, like, if you take somebody out yourself, it looks like it was dirty. Like, you just went in there, you wanted to clean both y'all out. And, you know, that happened because of the ruts. If those ruts weren't there, maybe small chance Malcolm might have stayed up, but most likely he's going down, but Jason wouldn't. He would be able to continue that momentum, cut across those ruts, but he's not able to do it because the way the corner is set up. And so I think it kind of caught him off guard. He probably sensed that Malcolm would have known that he was there, but Malcolm didn't. He just cut straight down, and Jason, boom, he's right there. So you can even see it when he slows it down. Jason almost loses the front end going in because he realizes Malcolm doesn't see him. Malcolm's cutting down, and he's like, dude, I don't want to hit him like that right there. And then, shoot, at that point, it's all man for himself. You got to believe once Malcolm makes contact and Jason knew he was going to contact him, then it's all about staying up. You don't care about what's going to happen to this guy. And unfortunately, both goes down. Like, I'm bummed for Malcolm. I can understand why he's pissed. Malcolm really could have got hurt if he'd have got his hand caught up in Jason's deal. But El Hombre, like, you know, you busting caps in the family over here. It ain't good looking. But I'd sense that wasn't taking both of us out. Like, there's animosity, or, you know, some guys take out people because of he slapped his girl or he might be dating this girl. I don't think it was this. I think Malcolm had Jason on the ropes, and Jason saw an opportunity to make the pass. And unfortunately, like, he made the pass, but he ended up, you know, costing himself. That was into it. But I ain't gonna lie, Jason, dude, you're in the points league, and like, you end up losing points on this with, you know, obviously Eli. And I know, you know, there's a stigma in people that you just don't mess with. Well, you don't mess with him, brother. Like, I mean, you saw what he did to you. Like, I got to give Malcolm a stew, just not like not pulling his head off right there. But he kind of just goes through him, and he knew. But right here, okay, Malcolm comes. He's pointing at you. He's like, dude, I'm going to bang, bang, bang. I'm going to shoot you. Elhambe, like, you in there. You don't go like this. You like, I mean, that's part of why we love watching you race, is because that aggressiveness, like, you're going to go in, you're all out. I don't care, this thing's swapping, I'm trying to win. But that same mentality, sometimes you got to look and be like, it's my fault. I just cleaned this dude out. He might have got his first victory. And he's pointing back at me. I ain't going to go like, yeah, what you talking for? Dude, I'm talking because you just took me out. Like, I got a reason to talk. But El Humphrey says, nah, dude, whatever. And that's your racing style. And that's what happened. So I don't know. It might not end well for you. But El Humphrey, man, like, you almost had the points lead. Yeah, I would have backed that down. But more power to you. Just makes it better in this seat on there. And I know my brother. You better hope he Eldon gets him into like, oh man, let's do this. Oh mate, let's go for a 25-mile bike ride, whatnot. And he's so tired he forgets about you. Because if he don't, oh, it's gonna be gang related up in this piece. And then y'all end up letting E.T. get a neck burn, even though they didn't give him a neck burn. I'm disappointed in Dirtworks. It doesn't matter. Flights, no flights. I mean, y'all gotta get that. We're gonna have to figure it out, but we'll get there. So that whole incident to me, again, was a racing incident, aggressive as hell. Know your people, know your surrounding. Malcolm, you know you got a Humbre. You had him on the ropes, bro. When people get on the ropes, they get desperate. So Jason got desperate. He tried making the pass, but where it really got into it is when El Humbre was like, why you talking? Well, I'm talking because I got a reason to talk. So that was it. Now, looking, they got this rhythm section, and some guys were going on off or doubling in that corner. And when you doubled in that corner, it was better if you were double and almost set yourself up and get a run going into the whoops compared to doubling and just flowing into the whoops, which made you, even if you're going to try to skim them, they had that rut down the outside. So even trying to skim them, you're trying to stay out of that rut, essentially, you know, or you can lose the back end into it. Or you're going to end up doing what Jason did, was jump into it and start jumping. But you see what, there's a point in the race where Eli's behind him. He goes through the rhythm section, does the same thing as Jason does. But you look at towards the end, Eli takes his time and he loses a little bit of time at the end of that rhythm section. But he almost runs in the back of Jason by the end of the whoops. And that's because he set himself up, got them Dunlops to hook up, got a run into the whoops. And he's able to like move through and close in. Also think there was, with Eli sitting down, Jason standing up. Eli, when he sat down, he actually got the bike to squat and shoot through. And I think that's just a testament of how good Eli feels and comfortable on his bike, because all day, his bike still looked the best, even in both set of whoops. But to me, it was all about how you set that corner up, that double, and made the decision halfway down that rhythm section what you were going to do. Because the guys that was getting a run into the whoops are the guys that went down that rhythm section and stayed kind of closer to the hay bales, to the outside. Now, Jason, you have a sense of when guys are behind you. So sometimes you actually go down the middle of the rhythm section. And that's a smart rider, go down the middle to make sure the guy behind them doesn't know if he's going inside or outside. So it puts him in a situation where he's like, all right, if he goes inside, I might be able to get a run on him. But you don't know, so you're kind of waiting for him to do it. And by the time you figure out what he does, then the dude, you lost that time. So Jason could have done that. But overall, I think just like the third race, there was a kind of a psychological warfare going on between those guys. Jason clearly was faster than Eli. He catches him. Like, almost Eli's waiting, like holding him up. But then when Eli gets behind him, it's like Eli was the guy that was faster, like holding him up. And that's cool because you see two different riders adjusting to their situation. And you can see the difference how sometimes it's better to be in second than in leading. You sit there and watch these guys. And for me, I go back to the whole, when I used to love races that was rain shorted, because Ricky and Chad, they couldn't watch the film of me. Like, if we only have 5 minutes on the track, James Stewart was going to win. I knew I was going to win. They knew I was going to win. But if you give these guys a sense of, like, you know, material and footage, and they can learn from you. Ricky was so good. Both of them, Ricky and Chad, was so good at doing that. And I talked about how sometimes in a heat race, like, if I would pull a whole shot, Ricky was in second, then that would change my whole race. But if I pulled a whole shot, Ricky was like fourth to fifth, I'm going to try to pull away because I don't want him to see me. And you could just tell Eli, once he got in the second, he just saw what Jason was doing. He's like, oh, I'll get him. And I think if Eli would have had to make the pass, he would have made it, or he would at least try to make it. But I think, you know, we all know Alhambra, he's notorious for blowing caps and bombs in people. Eli was definitely in a position to make that pass on Jason. But there would have been a chance that he would have ended up like my brother. And, you know, Jason was here to win, and he ended up getting that third one. But Eli was a victor. So it was cool to watch that. It was just nice to see, you know, one and two in the points. Tacticianers, like the guys who've won the last four or five races, you know, going back and forth with each other. And as I was saying, like, Jason was at first was clearly the fastest one. He caught Eli. Eli got behind him, watched him learn, and turned around and flipped it. And I was curious to see if Eli was going to try to make that pass. But again, I think sometimes you just know the situation and know where, like, the people you're racing with, is that chance worth it? And Eli didn't need to do it. And to me, that's, again, it's his whole, you know, mentality of trying to be there for the championship. If I'm watching this, if I had to pick, right, they both start up front, who's going to win next, you know, 7-8 races?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I still feel like overall, like, Eli, I ain't gonna lie, bro, you scared me that first race. I thought you were going ET mode on me, man. Like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, you were just back there, and you were just back there. And then all of a sudden you start trucking. But that, this little, you know, segment of the whoops right there is why I still believe in you and picked you. One, you made it happen. And then two, just look how good your bike is, bro. Like, I can't stress on that. And look how good you are. So it's ironic. Your teammate is saying the opposite. So is it you, or is it the bike, or is it both? I just say it's both because it looks good. But again, back to last few races, like, it's going to be very telling. These next three races is going to tell you who's going to win the title. Like, I think Daytona's coming up. I believe ET has to win. I believe he has to win. I think if he lets Jason win Daytona, everybody knows that's his special, ET special. And I think, like, if you continue to let Jason, like, get there and just bite a little bit off you, he's like the type of, like, Cooper Webb, in the sense of, I don't know if that's the guy I want to go in, like, all chips on the table and fight, like, just barnyard fight with. I want to get a little bit of gap, so he would have to, like, maybe knock me down or whatnot. But if I got to go in there, winner take all, Alhambra and certain guys, you just don't want to go and do that battle with. And so, clearly, I still think Eli's the better overall rider. But he continued letting Jason do this. Jason might end up being a better overall racer, and that's all that matters. So the only other person I would have loved to see was Cooper in this, because I think if you watch his podium interview, that was Cooper Webb that I've been missing. The guy that was pissed, he ended up getting third. He was pissed. Like, you saw him like, felt like we had more of a fight. I don't know. I want to thank the man above, but I'm freaking pissed. Before that, Cooper was like, yeah, just happy to be up here because I haven't been up here. But he was back. Say last weekend, there was something different about him. His motorcycle looked better. He looked better. And I really do believe like Cooper would have been like in the fight if he could have been in the fight. But Cooper's still lacking on speed. And I think if you watch the second race, like he catches these guys, or maybe in the third one, they have so many damn races with these triple crowns. He catches these guys, but he wasn't faster than them. Like he was able to catch them, like I was saying, back and forth with Malcolm and Jason. Only when they would make a mistake, Cooper would be right there. But overall, if they didn't, you know, those guys were faster than them. But Cooper still was fighting. Malcolm held him off. Chase held him off. Hey, Malcolm ended up going down. Nah, Malcolm held him off. See, too many damn races. One of these dudes, overall, they look better. They look better. But still, at the end of the day, Cole, we're going to do it anyway. I'm just go. Eli Tomac, you're going to get the neck burn, even though they didn't do the neck burn. Hit it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
It wasn't on fire, but it's. I made it on fire. Congratulations, ET. You had to stop him. You had to stop El Hombre. He was trying to get you again. He was trying to go three in a row. And you can't let that happen, but you stood up. You got up. And you made it happen. Congratulations. I think Eli was confused because I heard Jason was like, yeah. He pulled a Trey Canard on me in 2013 with Minnesota, Millville. Dude thought he won the race. I knew I won the race, but he was celebrating like as he won, made me go, damn, one, two, three, wait. I should win. Did they change the point system between motos? Because I should have won. That's how Eli looked after that. He was like, yeah, I think I won. But El Humber is like, yeah, what up? What's up? This is how we do in New Mexico. Oh, Eli won. Okay, whatever. Anyways, congratulations, Eli. You the man. And that was it from the AMA Supercross round number 8, Jerry's World here in Texas. Now, let's go over to Pond. Let's get started with that. MXGP, here we come. Hey, what's up, guys? We're still on the same show, but we're going to have to transition to the worldwide MXGP. Now, we were supposed to do this last weekend, but it was so windy over there, and they had to cancel it because they was afraid somebody was going to fly away. But we got back, round number 1, MXGP. And like I said, we here at Bubba's World, we like to keep it worldwide. This is a place I'm familiar with here in England. What is that? Actually can't even think. Matterly Basin. Now I'm gonna tell you, maybe Cole's gonna have to do some subtitles because some of y'all names like that valet dude, like valet my car, or Vale, like he's from Colorado, the guy in the 250 class, the KTM dude, he didn't even win. But like, I guess my point is some of these names are going to be like a little suspect, but nonetheless, I watched this just like I watched the British GP, the Canadian series. I watch it all, baby. But before we get there, hey, Davey, you guys are switching to MAV TV. Can a brother get a coupon or something? Like a free coupon? Like click here? Like, I don't know. Anyways, but it was cool to see and be able to watch this race. I love when all this stuff gets kicked in, especially when the MotoGP gets in there. You get MXGP, motocross, MXGP. I said MXGP, MotoGP, excuse me. But nonetheless, here at Matterly Basin, I raced there in 2006. They had the Motocross of Nations, and boy, it looked completely different. Grass is all green over here. It was cold over there. It was actually cold when I raced it too, but I had a toothache, and you guys know how when you got toothache and you got cold, not cold beach, but cold, it hurts. So, but unfortunately, I'm not going to lie, with Antonio Caroli retiring, it kind of took a little life out of me, man. I was a big fan of that guy. Still a big fan of him. So he wasn't there. That bummed me out a little bit. And then obviously Jeffrey, the defending champ, he wasn't there. He got hurt. You got Fevre, who got hurt at, Paris. So some of the life was, gone. But nonetheless, like, The funny thing is, the guy who won the race ended up winning the GP with Tim, can beat all those guys, and they could beat him, but he's also fast enough. So it wasn't like there was no one there, but I'm a big Jeremy Sewer fan. Like, I've seen that kid come up from the 250 class, now in the 450. He was good. He's doing way better on the 450 than I thought, especially last year and the year before. He's just continued growing. So he's definitely going to win some races. And it's cool to watch him just continue to grow. So I'm a huge Jeremy Sewer fan. I'm a huge fan of this Rene guy. He's he won the 250 title last year.
Maxime
Renault. Anyways, that guy, I'm a fan of his. He's going to win some races this year. He's a rookie in this class. But obviously, Tim Geiser, he's going to get the neck burn. But nonetheless, these guys are, they're good. They're fast, man. They're awesome. Big Tim Geiser fan. Actually, I'm a fan of all these guys. I should just say that. I'm a fan of everybody. But Tim, I obviously was the best. I'm going to talk about one guy that I'm going to highlight him, because the Prada, he reminds me of a pair of shoes, but he also reminds me of the European Michael Essie. And you might be like, why? Well, let's think about it. Dude pulls a whole shot. Great starter. First couple laps, dude's gone. So fast. Like, I kind of look at it like they're like a date, right? Prada's like a girl. And so she's like, hey, what's up? You want to go out? He pulls a whole shot. You're like, oh, man, like, yeah, I'm going out. But then when you go out with her, you're like, damn, she's like she's standoffish, like gone. And the next thing you know, you're like, whatever, I ain't going to catch him. Next thing you know, she texts you. You want to go out again? So you're like, yeah, they catch him. And then next thing you know, like, you're like there. And then she's fighting you. She's fighting you. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's Prada. Dude, hey, you want to go out? Pulls the whole shot. It's gone. Like, she's out of my league. Then she sends you a text. You catch him. And the next thing you know, y'all battling. Like, you would think, all right, she's texting me. It's on. It's on. Nope. Uh-uh. She's fighting you. And Prada's that person. It's a modern day Michael Lessie, the European version. Dude, pull the whole shot. Be gone. You give up on him. He comes back to you. You fight him. Like, they all of a sudden, you catch him. They battling. You battling. Dude, try to, you ain't going to go on the outside of me, fight. And at the end of the day, you end up spending the night, because you end up getting them at the end of time. But the dude won't fight you. And you got to admire that. Like, look at it right here. Like, Tim was way faster, but he's like, like, you ain't just going to roll around me. And then he tries to do it again. Nope. Prada says, nah, these are fresh pair of shoes over here. I'm getting this neck burn. And whips it in the dude's face. And he's always been that type. Like, he won the 250 class. The kid's good. He's always going to, I think last year was his first year, maybe second year. But he's good. He's going to win some races. But damn, he's my boy, Michael Lessie. He's always going to be up front, and he's going to fight you when you try to pass. You got to admire that stuff. So, yeah, I think that's what happens over there, and that's what he did. But nonetheless, Tim Geiser, you're clearly, dude, you're like four-time champ. What are you doing right there? Just flipped over. Yeah, I'm a big fan of these guys, because you look at how much better they've gotten over the last 10 years, and you can think Tony Caroli, you can think, Jeffrey Hurley, Tim Geiser, Roman Farah. Like, these guys have gotten better and continue to get better, and they hone in on their craft. But my boy Tony being gone, Jeffrey out, and Farah, you kind of knew eventually he was going to win, but I still think it's going to be a good season, and I'm looking forward to it. So, Tim Geiser, we're going to do it over here. Neck burn, Tim Geiser, hit it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
And with it being cold over there, the boys need some tanners. But Tim Geiser, you the man. Jeremy Sewer, you're going to win some races. That Renault guy, what's his name again?
Maxime Renault.
Yeah, I said it right. Modern day Prada shoes, Michael Lessie, Sewer, Renex, cold off, beaten Ferrato. For the Italian, Ferrato. Stratovinga. Anyways, like I said, don't excuse the language. But also want to give a shout out to the KTM kid who passed away, I think, earlier this year. you know, even though you're on that coast and, you know, I might not even know you. I watched you race last year, number 7-11, I think it was. We just got to get a moment of silence for that kid. So hearts goes out to him. We got to give him a shout out to the whole KTM team. That was cool for them to do a little celebration of him and live on, my man. So, yeah. All right, Cole. We touched on it. And again, I'm going to make it a little quicker because my boy Geyser won. Prada got his new shoes. And Sewer was, you know, he was doing what Jeremy does. He was just there. So not the best, but not the worst on there. My GP, come on, guys, get back. Jeremy, how long are you supposed to be out for? Damn, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. I feel like I just didn't do this whole season justice. Matterly Basin. The fans are awesome over there. Booba! They were jumping on my car. I felt like Michael Jackson and them kids. He was all over them. It was awesome. I only raced over in Europe twice. For the MXGP, both of them Motocross and Nations. It was always cold and raining, but the tracks were awesome because they were like Supercross. And them dudes, man, they sucked me. They got me, man. Like, I thought for sure I blew their doors off in the Saturday qualifying. Then they showed up on Sunday trying to give JS the business. Stefan Everett rode around the outside of me. I should have never let that happen. That bummed me out. And I let him do it, people. I let him do it. I mean, dude was going faster, and I'm like, oh, I just go around the outside. I ain't realized that I was going to have to live with that for the rest of my life. Man, I would have jumped in rough. I would have freaking El Hambre his ass. I wouldn't have let it happen. Dude was awesome to race against. And then I was like, all right, we're sitting on the gate. Ivan Tedesco comes up to me. He's like, bruh, hold it down for us. I'm like, what you mean? He said, I'm tired. Thanks. Thanks to the team effort. Where your ass at? He said, I'm tired. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, you know, JS Ricky was out. He hurt his shoulder. So I'm like, all right, the pressure's on me. The team comes up like, Jay, don't blow it. All right, thank you. And then I got this Stefan Everest. Didn't even know. Dude looked like he was going so damn slow. And he just kept right there, just riding around me. Last race, he was so good. He was so good. It was making me so mad. I was trying to chase him down. I couldn't. I was spinning out. Look at old JS over there. I'm out of control, like trying to get him. I'm like, all right, cool. And especially when guys look like they just going slow and I just blew his doors off. Because the first moto, I caught him and then I fell, which I did a few times that year. And the second one, I'm like, all right, it'd just be the same thing as, previous. Everest had them fans on him. I didn't realize it was the last race. JS sliding around back there. And that pass around the outside, the one I'll never let down. Damn it, I shouldn't let that happen. But we end up winning the title. But I tell you, when I came back in 08, you better believe I wasn't letting that happen again. I was going all out. I was there to win, and I won one moto, and then I crashed. Anyways, I'm done, Cole. I can't take it. You done pissed me off about this whole segment now, and I'm the one that's talking about it. All right, guys, that was it from round number 8, Supercross Series from Dallas, Jerry's World. That was it from the MXGP of that's where we're going next week, Lombardia from Great Britain, Matterhorn Basin. So we're going to get into it. Congrats, Eli Tomac, neck burn. Congrats, Tim Geyser, neck burn, double neck burns, even though I didn't see him. But we're going to get into it anyways. That was great. I'll see you guys next week. But before we go, you know what time it is? My favorite part, your favorite part, but definitely everyone's favorite part. Let's get into the stews, Cole. Let's get it. Hey, guys, what's up? You know what time it is? My favorite part, your favorite part, all of us' favorite part, stews and stews. All right, now we're going to get into the first one. We're going to go stews. Stews already got studs. And let me explain it to you. It's somebody who does something great. I mean, stud. Like, you just, muscles. You know where I'm going to go? Because it's always hard. It's challenging. Unless somebody just jumps off the stadium and lands, my standards are kind of up here. Even though Kent got one. Maybe somebody else will. We're going to go with it because if you win, you get a stew. Now, maybe you just get a stew because, like, hell, like, I just feel like they're best in the world. And if you can do it in the world, then, like, you just get stewed for Eli Tomac, you're number one. Now, you didn't do anything special. Shoot, you didn't even win a race. And you didn't even get the neck burn. Just hit it for me, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
But you won overall. Therefore, technicality, you get a stew because you just won. Now, the other one, I'm going to go overseas over the pond. At least he did win a race. Tim Geiser, yeah, you won. I know Jeffrey wasn't there. I know Antonio wasn't there, but you were. And you the best anyway, right? So it didn't matter. You get a stew. And then third, Stew is going to get a stew. And you may be like, Malcolm got fifth. He's going to get a stew because you know what happened? He didn't bomb rush Jason Anderson like I thought he would. I thought he was going to rip Alhambra to here, to New Mexico, back to Texas, here in Florida. I thought he was going to do it. But he held it in check. You saw him and he got, he was like, Grah! Jason was like, bruh, no, I'm sorry. And Malcolm's like, I'm just pick up my stuff, tuck my hair in and keep moving. And then he ended up beating Jace. And then afterwards, he's like pointing back. And then I was almost wanted to give Jason the stew because just the fact that he went like this back to him and then he was mouthing was like, damn, dude's got to pay a kahuna's on him. But I don't know if that's the smart thing to do against Stu. So anyways, Malcolm, I appreciate it, bro. You held back. You held in check. I thought you were going to rip that dude's neck off and just leave it right there, but you didn't. Fans appreciate it. El Hombre really appreciate it. And I appreciate it because, you know, I didn't want you to get fined. Bogle, you know, smooth criminal. You remember him a few weeks ago when he took out dude and was like, la, 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 la. That's how you're going to have to do him, but you didn't. So nonetheless, Tim Geiser, Eli Tomac, even though you didn't win the race, you won the race. And then Malcolm Stewart, the stew of the stews. That's it. Those are your three stews. Now, guys, that should be stew. Let's get into that. Let me explain that one to you, folks. Guys that should be pissed off. Guys that are just riding around, just doing whatever. Girlfriends over there looking back. Guys, point back or you just got blasted. Number one stew, Ken Roczen. Now, I done figured it out, guys. Listen. And you can't zoom in, but whatever. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. I done figured out what happened to Ken. It's all my fault. He's been stuck under the table. Ken's here. I don't know who that guy is out there. The guy out there looks like, Ken, I found you. So fans, the German chocolate is going to be back this week at Daytona. I found him. I don't know, buddy. You all right? You all right? I don't know. Maybe it's when you got blasted off from Jason, but Ken's back. So he should be stewed at me because he's been stuck under this table here, Bubba's World, this whole time. That's what's been happening. I don't know what. He must be a fill-in dummy. So Ken Roczen, it's okay, buddy. I got you. You're stewed. Be stewed at me. All right. The next guy. Of course, Malcolm. Dang, is that the first stew and stewed?
I think so.
Okay. Why you should be stewed? Because Jason Anderson blew your ass out the door. Bro, ain't looking good. Django called me. Oh, he was pissed. Django's been on vacation. I sent him on vacation. People was like, where Django at? He on vacation. He said he was going to come back at El Hombre of Daytona. So hopefully, I was like, dude, chill, Django, chill. He's like, nah, man, the little brother ain't going to do that. Like, we ain't going to do that. So I was like, Django, look, man, we don't need no violence. Look, we don't need no violence. You can't go over to Daytona and just blow the dude up. And he was like, And I was like, look, chill. So I gave him another trip off. So he's still gone. But if he shows up in Daytona, it's going to be problems. So anyways, you'll be stewed because you just got blasted. But we got you here, fam. You still wrote good. And then the other guy, Cooper Webb, I'm going to just throw him in because Cole put his name up on the screen. He got third. He's going to get stewed because he said he was stewed. But that was it. Like, I don't even know what else to say. We're just going to roll. But those are your three stews. Stew, Cooper Webb stew, and then German chocolate. But fans, I told you, he's back. Ken has been stuck under this table, but the German man's back. I got you, buddy. Fan Ken. And you can't crash on TV. It's your bad job. All right, guys, that was it on the stews, and that was it on the show. MXGP, glad to have y'all back. We'll see you next week. We'll see you here, actually, this week in Daytona, round number 9 for Supercross. And, you know, maybe I'll show up on there. And next week, we're going to shoot Bubba's World, episode number 4. Got maybe a sneaky little guest coming in. Got it. I'm a fan of God that you see all the time. So we're going to get into that. So it's going to be a big week. Hopefully, I can keep Django at home, but you never know. He might pop up anyway. So Eli Tomac, congratulations. Tim Geisen, congratulations. The Stews and Stews, congratulations. And I miss you guys. I love you. Thank you. Glenn, I appreciate it. The more you want, just keep clicking and tell me and send me in those questions and we'll get you answers. But that was it, guys. I'll see you next week here on Bubba's World Podcast and back here on the recap, rewind, whatever it is. But that's it. Cole, let's get it. Wait, hold up. Why did I just do that?
I don't know. Now you got the dread popping up like a little horn.
I just...